How many of you recognize any of those phrases? All of those phrases. Oh my gosh. Okay. You know, she wrote a sequel to that when she wrote the Dad song. It was great music. It was a lovely tune, but it only had one line in it. Go ask your mom. So we're all moms. We all have that within us. This is the mystical marriage of the archetypal masculine and the archetypal feminine that come together within us. We have both of those. So let's talk about that. You know, do we have moms? We have moms in the room. Raise your hand if you're a mom. Look at that. Okay. You know, gave birth to a child. Are you a grandma? Are there grandmas in the room? We asked late. Okay. And great grandmas. I know there was one over here and one. Yeah, great grandmas. And there are people who are nurturers, who are nurturing. There are dads as moms. Where are the dads as moms? Come on, raise your hands. We're all nurturing. That's the thing. It's not only the female of the species. This is not a gender thing. This is who we are, you know? How many people have given birth to an idea? I better see everybody's hand up. Everybody's, you know. Robert Heinlein, who was a science fiction writer, said, being a mother is an attitude. It's not a biological relation. It's an attitude. That's what we are, you know. And every time we give birth to something, to some idea, who has founded a company? Who started a company? Who started a business? That's the divine feminine flowing through you. That is the birthing of something. So... So I want to go back for a minute to, I love the song, I love all those phrases, but you know, we have an idea of who mom is, right? We have an idea that we came up through with TV moms and all that kind of stuff. You know, the one smiling, baking cookies, always wearing the apron, vacuuming with her heels on. Do you remember that from Leave It to Beaver and all that? Vacuuming with their, you know, your best cheerleader, always had the milk and cookies ready for you when you came home from school. Always patient, always kind, always loving, never losing her temper. Does anybody recognize that as their mom? Yeah, no, because nobody had that mom. That mom really doesn't exist. That mom only exists in Hallmark cards and 50s sitcoms. That was the only place that mom was. But it was this ideal, you know, composite of what a mom should be, but it only exists in those stories or those TV shows. Moms are like dads, are like siblings, are like any other biological relative that we have. They are just like us. What a surprise, right? They're just like us. Moms have their strengths and their weaknesses. They struggle with addictions, they are controlling, manipulative, they are loving, they are joyful, they are afraid and insecure, they are happy and blissful, they are all of that. They are all of that, just as we are. We're all of that and more. So here are some mommalies that I grew up with. My mother taught me a lot of things. There is mother wisdom in the world, and she taught me this one thing. She taught me how to appreciate a job well done, because she used to say, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me also religion and spirituality. She said, you better pray that comes out of the carpet. And she taught me time travel as well. You know, if you don't stop that, I'm going to just punch you into the middle of next week, you know. You'll wake up, it'll be a whole new season. And she taught me logic, because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me compassion. You know, if you fall out of the tree and break your neck, don't come crying to me. I love that one. And foresight. She taught me planning. You better have clean underwear on in case you're in an accident, right? I love that one. And of course, the irony, you know, if you don't stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about. That's like, man, that's a traditional one. I love it. I loved osmosis. She taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. Okay. And she taught me about the agility of contortionism. Do you see how dirty the back of your neck is? Yeah, she taught me stamina. You will sit there until that spinach is eaten. Thank you. And she was an expert in the weather. She was an expert in the weather. She would walk into my room and go, oh my God, it looks like a tornado just came through. Love it, I love it. And of course, hypocrisy, right? If I told you once, I told you a million times not to exaggerate. I love that. Oh, behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. Oh, my gosh. My mother taught me about receiving. She taught me about receiving. Man, you are going to get it when we get home. Yes, indeed. And medical science, too. She was an expert at medical science. You know, if you keep crossing your eyes like that, they're going to get stuck that way. Oh, my gosh. Lots and lots of things. How to become an adult, right? If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. You'll never grow up to be big and strong. She taught me about genetics. You are just like your father. She taught me wisdom. Someday you'll understand. That was it. Someday. And my most favorite is justice. She taught me justice. One day you'll have kids of your own, and I hope they are just like you. So these are some of the mom-isms that we grow up with, you know, and we've heard a lot of them. We could probably identify with most of them, you know. But mom is that human, positives and negatives, strengths and weaknesses, beliefs and hopes and fears. And, you know, it's a funny list, but moms also told us the things that work, too, you know. I mean, it wasn't always like that. There's always a balance. Moms taught us lots of things that worked, like clean your bathroom. Always keep your bathroom clean, right? Don't forget to vacuum. Say please and thank you. Visit people in the hospital. Send a thank you card. For goodness sake, send a thank you card. Lots and lots of really good skills and strengths that we have also grown up with. Help each other, right? You know, get along with your siblings. My mom always made sure that our birthdays were special days. You know, she would cook our meal. Whatever meal you chose, that's what she would do. She would cook that meal. One year I asked for pea soup. My sisters almost killed me. They were looking for things like lasagna, I guess, or raviolis or something. I wanted pea soup. They were like, oh, God, where did she come from? But mom would always cook my favorite meal. She'd always make sure that there was a cake. There was always candles. There was always a celebration on our birthday. It was just always, always there. So mom, there's, you know, and that's the mom that lives within us, right? The good, the bad, and the ugly. All of it, we have grown up and we've incorporated into us. So that leaves us with a lot of buttons. Some hot buttons and some warm fuzzies, because it's not all bad and it's not all traumatic. There are wonderful soft fuzzy things in there too that we brought along with us. There are some things that as we were growing up, we were saying to ourselves, oh, I am never doing that. And then there are those other things that we were like, oh, I can't wait to do that, you know, as a parent of our own. So it's always that combination. But what do we do with that? What do we do with that energy? You know, that's the thing that we're here to talk about today is that, okay, so now we are grown up and it is all living within us. What do we do with it? What do we do with it? How do we make it work for ourselves? What do we do with the mom in me? Because we each have that. We each have that mom in us. You know, and the first thing I think that we should do that's really, really good is to recognize it for the story that it is. Because it is just a story. It's a story we tell ourselves. You know, when we're younger, sometimes some of us would rebel, right? And do exactly the opposite, no matter what it was, no matter what counsel mom wisely gave us. We would go off and do the opposite. We were the rebel without a clue. We would go off and do our own thing, regardless of what mom said. Or sometimes we grew up emulating, right, the parents, and then we were mini them. We would incorporate everything and we would become that. But either way, whether you acted out in rejecting everything mom said or you grew up becoming a mini mom, either way, you're still acting out the story. You're still acting out the story. You're still acting out the influence of the mother as yourself. And so whether you wanted to be exactly like her or nothing like her, she is still running the story. So it's up to us to come to the truth of what is it we want to be? Who is it we want to be? What do we want to incorporate as our truths? Who's telling this story? Is it me or is it my mom? And we want to be able to do that so we can come to clarity, so we pick and choose those truths that work for us, right? Because in a teaching like this, what do we say? We're like, is it true for me? Is it true for the me I am today? Does it serve me well? Because if it does, we keep it. And if it doesn't, we find something else that works. We change that little tape that is running within us sometimes unconsciously. You know, parenting is a very, very difficult, challenging, multidimensional role. And Barbara Kingsolver said this. She said, kids don't stay with you if you do it right. It's the one job where the better you are, the more surely you won't be needed in the long run. And that's true, right? Because our jobs as parents, what you know, is to raise an autonomous, self-directed, self-disciplined individual that can make their way in the world on their own. So parenting is that job where we do it really well, they're not going to need us. And that's as it should be. That's as it should be. So whether our mom was the best mom, you know, or the worst mom, or somewhere in between, which is probably where most of them are, you know, they're mostly in between. It's a story that we tell ourselves. You know, here's what happens. We get an idea about them by their behavior or by the way they relate to us or whatever. We get this belief about who she is, and it becomes our narrative. And so we dismiss all those things that don't fit our narrative. If we grow up saying, oh, she was such a crank, she was always complaining, yeah, she probably complained a lot, but it wasn't all complaining. And yet, the stuff that doesn't fit into our narrative, we just don't remember. We don't remember those things. And so that's the stuff that gets left in the dustbin of history. You know, we only remember the things that reinforce the narrative that we have about her. So now here we are as adults, and it's up to us to dismantle the story. It's just a story that we have about mom. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, this will not be easy at first. He knew what he was talking about, right? Because old thought habits are prone to reassert themselves, to claim they have right to remain in your consciousness, to harass and torment you. But now you are wise and you know they have no authority. You see them to be exactly what they are, false impressions claiming to be truth. They are traitors to your true self, false representations of the divinity within you. They are a misuse of the law of freedom, but you can cast them out. You say to them, I no longer accept you, be gone. And because they are only thoughts, they will evaporate. And that's how we, as Ernest Holmes said, that's how we change our thinking, change our life. We pull up all of these ideas that we have and we say, is this truth? Is this truth, or it's just the story I've been telling for years and years and years? And the thing is, they have no real power over us. All of the thoughts, all of the things that we've decided, all of those ideas that we hold, they have no power over us. And we begin to integrate our beliefs with our authentic self. And we can pick and choose what serves us and keep that and release what no longer serves us. You know, the real mom in me, the real mom in all of us is the love of life. That's what it is. It is the love of life. And so we begin to nurture ourselves, our own inner parent, our own inner divine feminine begins to hold us and nurture us. We realize that the divine mother lives in all of us. Men, women, children, that divine feminine is a part of who we are. And that archetypal feminine and masculine, which is the mystical marriage, is the balance between these two energies. When we get to Father's Day, we'll talk about that. You know, the divine feminine energy is the energy of being in relation to, where the hero's journey is the masculine journey, right? It's a linear thing. It's a movement, and it's a going and returning and bringing back stuff. It's a journey. The masculine energy is more linear. The feminine energy is more circular. It is a going within. It's becoming more clear and receptive. You know, lots of ancient wisdoms talk about father sun and mother moon, which is the light of action and then the reflection of that, the receptivity of the feminine. And so it's whenever you're in relation with anything or anyone, you are in the divine feminine energy. That is in relationship too. It is the energy that goes deeper in. It spirals inward. And both of these energies exist within us. We have this lovely idea of nurturing and bringing forth something into the world, whether it is a child or a business or an idea or a direction. We have to nurture it. We have to hold it until it's ready to walk on its own, regardless of what it is. So that's that divine feminine energy. We sustain something, whether it's a belief, whether it's a business, whether it's a piece of artwork or a piece of music. We birth it into the world. And so we're a balance of those two energies. And that's what's so wonderful about community. Because in community, that's what we do. We nurture each other. We are a demonstration, really, of the divine masculine and feminine balance. Because we are always a part of doing and being. Doing and being. And the being part is that divine feminine flowing through us. So Ernest Holmes said this, and I love it. It's about the divine feminine. He said, "Let us then prepare our minds to give birth to a bright future with hope, constant with fulfillment. And in this preparation of the mind, let's take thoughts similar to the following and meditate on it daily. I live and move and have my being in the eternal presence of the Father, Mother, God. I know that this divine parent nurtures my every sincere prayer into fulfillment. There is nothing in my mind that fears or doubts that the creative principle of life shall respond to that which I believe in my heart." That's some powerful stuff. And that is the balance between the feminine and the masculine. If you look at the teaching symbol of religious science, you have those three sections. He called the three aspects, and he used to refer to it as spirit, soul, and body. He used to describe it as seed, soil, plant. And if you look at it that way, it would be masculine, feminine, offspring, if you will. There is something that acts. There is something that is acted upon. There is something that results. And so that mystical feminine within us is that place, is that fertile soil where something is placed, where something grows, where something is then birthed into form. Whether it is your next book, whether it's your next painting, whether it's your next piece of music, the energy of the divine feminine lives in all of us. And so it's up to us to allow that fertile soil to receive the impress of our thoughts and then allow it to nurture, allow it to grow, allow it to be birthed in form. This takes patience. You know how many times we do our prayer work and we say, "It hasn't happened yet. This stuff doesn't work." Right? But I treated, and nothing happened. I prayed. Nothing happened. Something's happening. Ernest Holmes said, don't go dig up the seed every other day to see whether it sprouted or not, you know? Just let it be. There is a divine timing to all of us. You know, I'm reminded of that story about the bamboo that takes 7 years to break the ground. I mean, it's a wonderful story about patience. You water it and you give it sun, and you water it and give it sun, and you water it and you give it sun. For 7 years, nothing breaks ground, and then all of a sudden the bamboo comes through the ground. And then it can grow 6 feet in a season. I mean, it's amazing. But it's different than planting a watermelon seed or an apple seed where there's something happening. No matter what it is, don't ever, ever lose faith. Seed, soil, plant. This is the way it works. Ernest Holmes told us this is the way it works. Spirit, soul, body. We have that idea. We keep hold of the idea. We plant it in the receptive soil of the divine feminine energy, and we leave it there. And we let it be, and we continue to know the truth for ourselves, regardless of the situation, regardless of the conditions, regardless of what it looks like. Maybe it is bamboo you planted, and really, what the lesson is patience. But don't let go of the goal. Don't let go of the intention that you set. Don't lose track of the fact that you planted that seed, and give it time to nurture. That's what the divine feminine in us is all about. It's the patience, it's the relationship, it's that loving energy that nurtures our ideas, that nurtures our demonstrations in the world. And the balance between the two is so necessary. Again, I just want to finish with Ernest Holmes' meditative quote. This is something that we can write down and we can say every morning or every evening. I live and move and have my being in the eternal presence of the Mother, Father, God. Not only, this is my words, not only in the presence of, but within us, surrounding us, as us. Every cell, every molecule of our bodies is that. We are simply an activity that God is having. Ernest Holmes goes on to say, I know this divine parent nurtures my every sincere prayer into fulfillment. It nurtures every prayer into fulfillment. That means whatever that divine thought is, whatever that predominant thought is, will sprout. It will demonstrate. There's not a doubt in our minds. And if there is, you go back to prayer. Because sometimes there is a doubt. You go back to prayer. That seed will sprout. And he goes on to say, there is nothing in my mind that fears or doubts that creative principle of life shall respond to that which I believe in my heart. That is the divine feminine in us, is that belief, that sincerity, that devotion to that seed. So put it in the receptive soil, allow it to grow, allow it to break ground, allow it to change your life. Because that's what we know, right? You change our thinking, we change our life. So we allow that divine feminine to work for us, to work for us. So whether you're contemplating your next step, your next job, your next project, your next painting, your next piece of music, did I say book? I think I said book. Your next poem, whatever it is that you're contemplating now, know it. See it as done. See it as complete. See it as the culmination of all of your nurturing and caring. And allow the divine feminine within you to do the work on the invisible level, to do the work beneath your level of awareness. And what you will see is magnificence. Magnificence come out of you. Thank you so much. Thank you.